than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens
always.
Football. The preseason is over.
Finally,
stuff's going on. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and you're watching this episode on YouTube, as you can see behind us.
Beautiful view.
It's a beautiful view in Baltimore City. We have what? We have Fells Point that direction, Harbor East there. I mean,
everything. It's right great. Here.
And it's a beautiful day out. Beautiful day out.
Nice day off today.
That's right. Very nice day off. All right, so let's talk about it. The Ravens are down to the 53-man roster. Little surprising.
Very surprising. No, not little. Very surprising.
Justin Forsett released by the Ravens. When I read that, I was like, you have got to be kidding. What are they thinking? Justin Forsett? I mean, I love the guy. Look at what he did after, you know, the Ray Rice scandal. He came in. He worked hard. He's a great presence in the locker room. I couldn't believe it. Right now, as we're recording this, it turns out that he might actually still be a Raven. We don't know yet, though.
Everything's to be determined at this point. Like, but he even said, nothing's official. But there was a lot of shocking cuts, first and foremost, Justin Forsett.
What were you thinking when you saw that? I mean, because everyone that, you know, has done, like, their mock rosters and everything, he was the number one guy. He's gotten veteran days off. He didn't work game one or game four. All signs pointed to him being our number one guy, and then this happens.
No job is safe in the NFL. It was a business decision, my first instinct, because you're not going to cut a name like Justin Forsett, especially starting running back for the last couple years,
right,
and out of nowhere, where something had to happen, whether it was... Now, I was waiting for, like, breaking news, like Ray Rice type, like, oh, he was involved in something, and they released him before the news found out, and then we're going to find some hokey story out there that he was involved in, like, some drug ring. But he's a nice guy, so I was like,
no
way.
He's not that type of guy. Like, there was no signs of any, like, foul play or anything like that.
When I knew that, when there was no signs of foul play, I knew it had to be strictly a business decision. This was related to the salary cap, mm-hmm, and restructuring and the Ravens youth movement. They want to go younger. They have Kenneth Dixon, which shows you that his injury isn't as serious as we thought.
But they're thinking like out week four is when they might come back.
Month.
Yeah.
And again, we'll have Derek Waller back by then, so it should be good. Terrence West is the future Buck Allen. So I think the Ravens want to go younger, a lot fresher, especially in the running back position. But like you just said, they're going to invite him back, that they have the opportunity to re-sign him. And even John Harbaugh said that after that. They said that they've been in talks. Just because they cut him doesn't mean, and release him doesn't mean, that he's gone forever. He looks like he could resign here.
Now, let me just say this. I mean, again, we don't know what's going on. Right. It's all signs point to him coming back. He wasn't picked up by any other team at this point as we're recording this. But is this a sign, if he does come back, that they wanted to pay him less money? And are they not counting on him as much? Like, we talked about it a week ago, 2 weeks ago, that there was a lot of stuff about how they were going to have four guys and maybe Justin Forsett wouldn't get as many snaps. Is this a sign that that's actually going to come true, that he's going to get paid less because he's going to be doing less?
Has to be. It's got to be a sign to me personally. We're going back to 2008 days. And remember the days where, and we all remember the game where they shut down Texas Stadium. We had Ray Rice rookie year. We had LaRon McLean and Willis McGahee here. And what a sight it was.
Right.
And I remember those days where it's a three-headed back. This could be another three-headed monster we're heading into with the running back by committee. It's going to be whoever the strong point is. When I first heard of the Forsett release, I was like, no. But then I'm like, you know what? I kind of love the way West is running. I really love this kid, Kenneth Dixon, the rookie this year. He's shown
you
very...
liked him in open practice a lot. I remember you bringing him up when we were at the stadium.
Yeah, like I told you, his name was coming up a lot, especially in the preseason game where he was impressed.
Yeah.
Impressing, I should say. And he
may have impressed himself. I mean,
he could have. but it was just unfortunate to have the injury happen, but luckily it's not as serious. We already knew we lost some casualties, and to make even more room, to put on injured reserve, the Ravens have placed Matt Elam and Carl Davis on the IR reserve as we speak.
Well, like, that was the big reason for the four-set move, is what we're understanding. What the rumors are going around is that they want to have Carl Davis and Matt Elam on the 53-man roster because you can put them on IR, and then, like, 6 weeks down the road, you can activate them again. And that was – four-set was released to make room for these guys.
Of course.
Now that they're back on IR, four-set can come back.
Guys – trust the system. We always say, especially during draft, especially during releases, in Ozzy we trust, in the front office we trust. We are the best in the business at what we do. I hate to quote Chris Jericho, but the Ravens are. They're the premier. I mean, Mike Wallace came here because we have a quarterback and he wanted to come to a team that has a quarterback. Eric Weddle came here because he said they're always in a position to win.
Right.
This franchise is well respected. We've been in the league 20 years. I know the whole stars, all the NFL, and give us a team, whatever. Put that, laid it to rest. I mean, we have two titles here. We have numerous Hall of Famers and just countless success, and it starts at the top down. So again, I said there has to be a method to what they're doing. Trust the system. Relax, guys. It's going to be okay. We're going to win some football games. Don't worry about it.
All right, so let's stay on this running back thing just for now. I got one more question for you. I like Terrence West a lot. I think he's proven himself in preseason, coming in last year. I mean, he picked up the slack. He's looked great. However, he wasn't good enough for us to draft. He got drafted, was released. I think it was the Browns or the Bengals.
Browns.
It was the Browns.
It was Browns.
He got released from there. I think he went to Tennessee after that, got released from there. Is he a guy that you would trust to be the number one if he's been around already this much?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
He's shown he can handle it.
Okay.
I've seen what I've seen on the field, and I'm very excited that the direction they're going. If not, he was going to be a solid backup, and if not, to take over the position if Forsett were to leave after the season. I don't know his contract situation, but now it's going to be redone because his his release and then reevaluated to bring back. So, stay tuned. It's going to be okay. But all the notable cuts in, and we've been discussing a lot, the Jeremy Butler situation.
Yeah.
That came up first, and I was like, no, what are you doing? Because the kid had a strong camp, had an even stronger preseason, catching touchdowns from all of our quarterbacks, and he gets cut.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at the intricates of our lineup and our depth chart. The Ravens are very, very strong at receiver. Perryman looks solid coming back.
Yeah, we got to talk about him coming up
next.
Oh,
my God. Two catches for 24 yards, both were for first downs. And how about that catch going across the body to bring it back in? I mean, it was a low throw from Mallett, but the kid was 2 out of 3, I think, with catching balls. I think thrown to him. I think he was targeted 3 or 4 times, if I'm not mistaken. The guy looks sharp.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think we wanted to release his speed yet to see what we can do. But if you got Perryman, Aiken, Wallace, Steve Smith, they love Chris Moore, the drafted this year. So the Ravens are very deep. One, I'm disappointed, and we were talking this pre-show, Terrence Brooks. He donned the 31 number, which I've always said it reminded me of Bernard Pollard because Bernard Pollard was tough as nails. He was back here hitting people. I literally could cry. I'm just saying. I mean, everybody's like, well, why ain't you hung up before set? Running backs, I've always said this, they're a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
We have two or three good ones right now, but we're weak at safety. I know we have Eric Weddle, but we don't know what Ladarius Webb can do at safety, and it has been our weak link since Ed Reed left.
Right.
And now that we have Weddle, we have some presence back there. Terrence Brooks, I miss you, buddy. I hope you find your way in the NFL and prove everybody wrong. But number three, I even tweeted him. I was like, what a shocker. I'm going to miss your presence here. But I really was hung on this guy. Like, I was like, Terrence Brooks is awesome.
Well, he looked great in game 4. I mean, he looked like Brock Lesnar suplex city.
Oh, he was back here tackling, wrapping up, hitting, shoulder hitting like Ed Reed used to do. I'm like, and he just wore that 31. And he just looked like that, like the Hulk guy. Like, that. He just had that presence back there. And it just, I don't know what was up with that.
Was it too little too late at that point? Because he's up against maybe not first stringers, but...
The only option I have is too little too late at this point. I couldn't less agree with you there.
Yeah.
Have to be.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Game 4 again. I mean, the roster cuts already happened or whatever, but let's talk about the fact that the Saints put in their number one guys. And they went up against the Ravens number two guys, and they were held to what?
Drew Brees was in there.
Right, yeah, you know.
Well said.
What we kept the Saints back to, what, 3 points, 10 points, something like that?
Yeah,
I mean, a couple field goals. That looks good for the second stringers to be able to hold out down the Saints like
it
that.
It does. It was very impressive, and I love the fact that the game stayed close, and how about Pierce getting that the fumble and the recovery and the touchdown that saved his job. I think he did
absolutely
make the roster.
Did.
Yeah, because he made the roster. So congratulations. That was a great play. But they were swarming around the ball.
Yeah.
They were tackling. Yeah, there was a couple of screen passes where I think screen passes this year are going to be weak for us.
Uh-huh.
But because it's just that open field tackling, it's got to be addressed.
Yeah.
But I was very impressed with how this team played as a whole. And Harbaugh always says the team, the team, the team.
Right.
I'm very impressed with how they've accomplished the 4-0 preseason. I know wins and losses in the preseason aren't that great. You know, they can go 0-4 and win Super Bowl. I've seen.
Right.
And they always said the mantra, the Lions went 4-0 in the preseason and went 0-16 in their year of the winless season. Preseason means nothing, but
a win's a win.
Win's a win.
Yeah.
But echoing what and touching on what Harbaugh said in his presser is the year they've had last year. It's the winning atmosphere. It's this whole thing with the Orioles. And it's like all the years of losing seasons. I don't care if it's exhibition or whatever. If you get that win mentality and the win on the board and like, hey, we didn't lose, you carry that. It's that. It's the whole you carry in practice
right.
into the real game. So if they're carrying wins from the preseason, most might buck that theory. Like, oh, well, that don't matter. You know, it's just got you just play the game. But they're keeping score for a reason. I mean, if wins and losses aren't counted to anything, no trophies or anything like that.
Yeah.
But they're amount to evaluation. And when we beat the Lions 30-6 or 30-9, I believe, it just shows you, because I probably got the score wrong, shows you how little I pay attention. But win's a win. But the matter of fact is we're undefeated in the preseason.
Yeah.
Let's carry that into Buffalo this coming week. I can't believe it's already opening week, man. I mean,
we're
3 days away from the first NFL game, Broncos, Panthers, and there's a lot of new stuff going on in the league. But the Ravens are we're 6 days away from kickoff, man, right here in Charm City, and I can't wait to get out there. We'll definitely cover everything there on Purple Friday Preview, and we have something special in store for that. But, man, I'm just happy to hear that preseason is over. We've had some losses. You know, Ben Watson, you know, Kenneth Dixon went down. We Matt Elam, Carl Day, we can count the injuries. They happened. But I heard, and we're going to cover in the preview, to really get your palate cleansed here is – we might have some players coming back, which is going to be good for us on Sunday, man.
That's very true.
How about that?
Very true. All right, so have we covered everything for preseason?
We have covered this one to the max. And I wanted to ask your opinion. I thought about changing the have we covered everything outro. I know we've used some classics in the past, but
right. not a chance.
You know, if not, Ed Reed's got it because he just – he always gets everything in the backfield. But I'm thinking about doing something new this year. So I'm really open to some possibilities from our listeners and fans. But
sure.
I'm looking to add a little something.
Okay.
I've been thinking, but it's just not there yet.
All right. You got some stuff brewing.
Brewing.
It's cold brew.
Right,
it's cold brew up
here. Cold brew.
It's cold brew coffee.
So good right now, I can go for one.
I just went to a place, you know.
We're getting one after the show, by the way.
I just went to a place up in Towson that they do cold brew growlers. So you take it there, you know, you take it home, and you pour a coffee in the morning, you know. It's a pretty cool place.
Let's get a growler.
Yeah.
Don't make me growl. It's horrible.
All right. If you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, he will growl at you on Twitter.
Yeah.
You can
Especially
follow
if you're
me.
A Steeler fan. Just saying.
You can follow me on Twitter at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
You can follow my silliness at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys. Plenty of stuff going on around the city. We'll try to keep you updated. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, we got the Purple Caravan this week. They're doing decals on your cars for free down at the stadium at some point. There's going to be
a concert.
Big concert, Three Doors Down.
And Charm City Devils, a local favorite.
Charm City Devils. Check those guys out.
They're
great.
Awesome.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, I'm trying to make the show. I got off a little bit earlier on Friday, so I'm hoping I can get down there. I haven't got a ticket yet.
It's at the fairgrounds
this
year.
At the fairgrounds.
Which is usually a Power Plant. Fairgrounds, much bigger place.
And a much better place, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Just, not to not, I love Power Plant Live, but it's really great to see that they're, you know, testing things out.
Yeah.
And with this, the Purple Friday, you know, I've always said Purple Friday starts from a football season, training camp, mini camps, but this is the first official, if you're counting, but Who's counting, right?
Yeah. All right, guys. All we ask, you see, we're doing the show for free. We are enjoying this beautiful Baltimore day for free for you guys. All we ask in return is for you guys to please spread the word about the call. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and any other place you're social on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. The season is about to start. The call's getting me ready. They can get you ready, too. All right, that's pretty much it for the show. Is this our first Red Eye review of the year?
Yes, sir.
It's our first Red Eye review. There you go. So that's it for this show. We will be back on Friday for our Purple Friday preview of Ravens and Bills. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much. Thanks for everybody who stayed with us and all of our newcomers. 2016 season's upon us. This is opening week. We're going to cover all the festivities. What a beautiful day in Baltimore. And I heard it's going to be even gorgeous for kickoff on Sunday. Can't wait to get after and get the tailgates ready. I am so psyched, and we're going to cover everything on Purple Friday Preview. With that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.